Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I like to go back to the basics, reading a shark. The reason is that I just came across some recommendations and suggestions when facing a shark. As usual, this one was pretty much copied since the very same errors repeated themselves again. They all agree that one should remain calm, but that is about it. Nowhere you can read how to actually understand it or read a shark, or better, the entire situation. Situational understanding is paramount when facing a shark. You don't have to have a background in body reading sharks, but you have to be willing to sit down, read about it, and then best memorize. Yes, unfortunately, in the beginning, you have to memorize a few things to get over the initial hump. That's what it normally is. A shark shows up, sometimes maybe a bigger shark, and people just lose their marbles. So whenever a big shark shows up, well, follow the rules. Use what you memorized. So reading sharks is not rocket science. It always starts with the environment you're in. That is something I feel very important to consciously make an effort when diving, swimming, or snorkeling to ask oneself, where am I exactly and what are the most important features? For example, if you're snorkeling, you know you're at the surface, obviously, but that also means when a shark comes closer to the surface, its inner circle will touch the surface, so reduce escape routes. These are things that you really should be aware of. So if you're down at the bottom, well, then the bottom will affect the approach pattern for shark. If you're close to a reef, it would be the reef and so on. So this will really get important when a shark then shows up. So even if no shark is around, be aware where you're at. Being one step ahead makes reading a shark correctly much easier. So you're aware where you're at and now spot the shark. Is the animal swimming towards you or is its body projection aiming elsewhere? Is the shark still far away and you can't likely tell? But if that is so, then you have time and it's always a plus. So if you know, well, it's too far away, give it a few seconds, then you're already in the driver's seat. You know what to do next. Assuming now the shark is swimming towards you, then start with my rules, which I dubbed, quote unquote, Ritter rules back when. My next podcast, I will talk about the rules again, so I won't go into them here. But just want you to understand that reading a situation demands that you do your part. That is why I developed these rules, because if you come into a situation, no matter if you're like a car accident or whatever, if you follow rules, it sort of doesn't really matter how you feel as long as you do follow the rules, then you do the right thing. So the shark should not be close or closer, and you can clearly make out level, speed, and direction. The fourth element, environment, you already took care of it. Being aware about these four elements makes a reading quite easy since you go through it step by step and must not wait on the sideline until the shark does something else. I hope you still have level, speed, and direction down. What then comes next is that you look at the pectorals. The pectoral fins, remember, they are not lowered because a shark is threatening you, but because the shark makes itself react when getting close or at least closer. Pectoral fins are only then more important should a shark swim directly towards you and you need an idea in what direction it goes. Remember, the side, the pectoral fin on one and the left side goes down, shark will turn to left, on the right, turns to the right. Since hardly any shark swims directly towards you or at least changes angle when close to at the inner circle, pectorals most often say it all. So, does it stop now at its true inner circle? Remember, two body lengths? Yes. Or does it turn much earlier or much later? Thus, comes too close? Up to this point, every encounter can follow the same structure. Now we have to start looking a little at the little things. Like, does the animal have a wound? New one, old one, that could impair its motion or similar things. This morning I saw a video clip on a white shark, and the white shark had a very, very deep cut in its dorsal fin. So, of course, people always say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, the dorsal fin. But the dorsal fin is actually very important for stabilizing a shark. So it will not rotate along its longitudinal axis, its main body axis. So if there's really a deep cut, so it will enhance rolling. So yes, these cuts can really play a big, big difference in an approach pattern of a shark, especially when the shark then starts to turn. Anyway, at this stage now, at least when I interact, I let the animal do the quote-unquote talking. Or with other words, I try to get a feeling for the animal. Most often I look for parameters that may affect the shark. Most of it is the triage I have done when jumping in. Well, I orient myself, I see where the bottom is, the reef, the current, the visibility, and make myself really aware what I do and how I do it. Just remember, being a swimmer or snorkeler means that a shark that comes close will be influenced by the surface before its inner circle will likely be influenced. When you, at that stage, you're really part of the interaction, since you will now realize, should the shark do something different, should it return, or whatever happens. And should it now just stay within its endosome, you can just observe the shark and that's that. I hope you see again that facing a shark can be done using a tick list. The advantage is you don't have to lose your head over it, but just follow the steps, just follow the rules. This method has been proven over and over throughout the years. Of course, back when we first started to use it, we had no clue if it also works for other species and with those we tried it with. And the good thing is that it works with the oceanics as well, in the open water, bulls in the shallows, whites in murky surrounding. It just works. Probably the biggest problem facing a shark is not to lose your head should the shark be bigger and bolder than what you are used. Follow the steps and you'll be fine. Remember, when I once said that you should not focus on a species but the specimen, this is exactly the way here. It does not matter which species you have in front of you, only that there is a shark, a specimen, and that you have to act based on the acting of this very shark. Your ego should not matter. We understand, you know, people get afraid and all of a sudden they really get scared, and they want to back off, but don't let this happen. Most importantly, you never back off of a shark. Just stay put, go vertical, and do all these things we just said. And then you can observe the animal and try to figure out what species it is. Most likely, of course, you have an idea. But when it comes to the Hecarina species, it's kind of tricky sometimes. Okay, so importance is, it doesn't matter what species it is. It only matters that it's a specimen. So if the situation would then demand that you approach a shark, then do so. Even if it is a white or any other shark that is seen as a threat to humans. Again, species doesn't matter. We all know they are not dangerous, but unfortunately even a seasoned diver can get overwhelmed should one of the big buggers get curious. Follow the rules and you'll be fine. So I hope this clarifies it once more, and as promised, I will do my next podcast on my rules. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.